two guys in a room talking football. That's what we aim for here on Prep Sports Now, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, and we have plenty of topics to discuss so we can meet our mission statement today. A lot of games last week that we thought were going to be evenly matched turned out great, lived up to the potential. Some other ones we thought were going to be evenly matched didn't so much, turned into blowouts. And, of course, a lot of upsets along the way, some teams we didn't see coming. Ray Brewer, what stands out to you about last week?
Well, I'd say finally, Case, we got a game, Palo Verde Liberty, that delivered on the promise. You know, a lot of times we get two teams matched up, we hype it up here on the show, we think we're going to get a good game, and what happens by the third quarter, one team pulls away from the other. Well, here we had a game where, you know, Liberty showed, yes, they are good, they are a perennial power. Capelli, three touchdowns on three straight touches. They build this lead. You're watching from home, you go get a sandwich. Next thing you know, you come back, Palo Verde, the old reliable power. They don't quit, they don't give up. They make things interesting. They come all the way back. They take a lead. Liberty, winning drive to get a touchdown. And then at the end of the game, they got a few turnovers to build on the lead. But great game. Two elite programs. I can't believe Palo's 1-3. Liberty makes a statement. And it was a big hurdle for them to get over Rich Morocco, who, by the way, seems like the best coaches are in town. Sanchez, Morocco, Rost also give us the best comments. The guy is – I could listen to Rich Morocco talk for days. But he said, you know, we kind of look at it as, you know, we are now the public school team everybody needs to beat. We just took that fictitious title from Palo Verde, and I agree with him.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree, and that's an absolutely true story. A lot of people say something like that as a joke, you know, oh, I went to my refrigerator, and then all of a sudden the game was tied. I literally left my house because I was starving. I was watching on TV. It was 27-7 when I left my house. I tweeted this, and it was totally true. I walk back in, Palo Verde scores, it's 28-27. So I'm kind of confused how this happened, because from my perspective, from when I watched the game, I saw Liberty score 42 and Palo Verde score 7. What went wrong in that one little 10-12-minute stretch for Liberty?
Well, Liberty just couldn't hold Palo down for that long. Palo is a good team. You know, they've had a tough schedule, but I tell you what, Palo Verde – their ability to create offense through the air is something they haven't had in years past. And while they're not, you know, lighting it up by any stretch of the imagination, they were able to get two touchdown passes from Ross to Ryan Bouye, who, in my opinion, might have been the behind Capelli, the second best player on the field. Shutdown corner, scores, catches everything thrown his way. Returned two punts for a touchdown, one of which got called back, and then he took another one back. And I think it was somebody on the sideline of Liberty said, I can't believe Palo Verde is throwing on us, something like that, or that's Palo Verde in terms of I can't believe we're letting them pass on us. But their passing offense, just like their running offense, is very detailed, and it's not complex, and they're doing a good job of getting throws for Parker Ross that he could complete. They're using the tight end Jake Ortal very well. They're able to stretch the field with some wideouts, and then when they go back to the run, it opens some things up. So I really think that Palo might hit its stride. They got a tough game this week with Canyon, obviously with Centennial and Arbor and Gorman in the Sunset. The playoffs are going to be tough, but I think Palo, you asked, how did they get back in the game? Well, it was just a matter of time until they pieced some things together.
Yeah, and Liberty overall, from what I saw, looked great, of course. Nico Capelli, the obvious story. What did he have, four touchdowns and almost 180 yards, I think? Broke one loose kind of at the end of the first half that I think gave Liberty kind of a big lead and started to look like the Patriots are clearly the better team.
And that's the thing I couldn't figure out is how does Palo give up that long dump off? It was basically a little dump off screen pass with 15 seconds left in the half to Capelli. You know, put your guys 20 yards deep and see what they could do. And that changed the whole complexity of the game. And if you look at when they played 3 years ago and Liberty lost, it was a throw deep in their end zone, deep in their field that got intercepted before halftime. This year they completed the pass, a much safer pass, mind you, to Capelli, and he took it 85 yards for a touchdown. And I tell you what, Nico Capelli, according to the coach Morocco, strongest player on the Liberty team. And it shows. I mean, that guy, according to stories, worked like a dog this offseason, and he's pissed. He wants to show people that he's a legit D1 guy. You know, everybody always questions his size, and they think that you need to be Nate Starks, you know, 6'1", 200, 220, to be a good tailback. And all Scapelli has done his whole life is pick up 200 yards a game and score multiple touchdowns and be a threat every time he touches the ball. And I think the fact that he's really good, put in a lot of work, oh, and he's pissed. Every game he walks out there pissed off. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove something wrong. Pads low. I don't want to have to defend that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best players in town, clearly, and we've talked about him for a long time. But I think there's quite a few other guys on this Liberty team that we should probably have been even talking more about. It seemed like all up front, offensively and defensively, when they were rolling, they were kind of pushing Paolo around, which is saying quite a lot, considering how good Paolo Verde has been over the year. And how about, I know we mentioned this kid in our first podcast we talked about, but how about the transfer, Jay Mitchell? That guy's electric, no?
Electric, and when he came up with an interception in the fourth quarter at the end of the game, and the way he just grabbed the ball out of the air was super impressive. Liberty's never had that before. They've never had that one, you know, game breaker in terms of speed. And what I found more impressive with Liberty is right now they're just showing you the basic offense that everybody has seen the last 3 years. That's when Nacua takes the snap, turns around, pitches it to Capelli, full head of steam coming right at you between the tackles. They're winning. Why change it up? But I think it's evolving, and they've got more plays where, you know, Nacua goes from quarterback to receiver or tight end, or where Jay Mitchell gets in on the act and is able to run the ball. And I think they think that when the end of the season comes, when they possibly play Canyon over Thanksgiving weekend or maybe even further against one of those teams from the Sunset, that they could roll out some of this bag of tricks and go for it. And Jay Mitchell, big part of the equation. I mean, he is the difference maker that gives them hope in terms of speed.
Yeah,
I like fast guys. I'm sorry.
I know you do. Looking over their roster now, what about linebacker Phoenix Upton? What a name. Good player, too, but I'm just saying.
Good player. I want to get this straight, but he's got his dad played for I'll have to get it for next week.
He makes a lot of plays, though.
He makes a lot of plays, and here's a guy who last year, quite frankly, had a hard time getting on the field for him. And that's just how the Liberty program's evolving. You do worry about him a little bit defensively. They gave up some points in the first game, and now they gave up again some points to Paolo Verde. Clearly, Liberty going to beat Rancho good this week, get some more confidence going, and then they've got the Pioneers of Canyon Springs on the horizon.
I don't even think they need any more confidence. They know how good they are. They'll beat Rancho big, but we'll talk about those games later. You went to one of probably the best double dips of high school football that I can ever remember in town. You were out at Liberty Thursday night, of course, a little bit late for Ray Brewer, whose bedtime is about 8:30, because the baby's going to wake him up probably in the night still, or no?
No, the baby makes it good through the night, but
okay.
Sometimes
wakes
he
up early in the morning. That's
well,
what
sometimes
is.
He'll wake up at like 2 or 3 and run into our room with his little feet, and you're like, oh my God, what's going on? You think you're getting robbed, and it's just Nick Anthony wanting to be in the room. But yeah, he's up at 6. Yeah, so I go to bed. I like to shut it down around 8:39. So when I'm out to 2 in the morning, 3 days in a row, I'm exhausted.
Right. Yeah, so either way, what I was trying to get at was late night Thursday for you, but you turned right back around and went to another great game Friday night. Bishop Gorman hosting Bergen Catholic from New Jersey. I was torn on this game. I said it could go either way, and I took Bergen +9.5. You can make me from -5 to +10 on the year after last week. I swept the plays, but turns out that Bergen Catholic was really that good, and they beat Bishop Gorman. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have the final in front of me, 42-35.
Yeah, 42-35. Gorman with two late touchdowns to make the score a little closer than it actually was. And you got to give Bergen Catholic credit first off, Case. They came in with an offensive game plan, and their quarterback passed for more than 300 yards. They got everything they needed when it was said. And I said, listen, Gorman could be beat. I know a lot of people locally think that they have no chance against them, but Gorman needs to play its absolute worst which is what happened against Bergen Catholic, and another team needs to take advantage of it to win, which is exactly what they did. There was interceptions, fumbles, awful special teams play where there was a squib kick because they didn't want to kick to Nate Starks, who took one to the house 97 yards. So they do the squib kick. It lands between, like, two Gorman guys. Nobody falls on it. Bergen Catholic comes and gets the ball. Anu Solomon, the worst game I've ever seen him play. That goes back to when I was watching him with the Island Warriors. Tony Sanchez had to kind of flip the script a little bit and bring in the backup to change pace a little bit with Cunningham Jr. It worked. Cunningham threw an interception, but Solomon came back in and threw the late two touchdown passes. So Gorman beat. You can make an argument it was the worst loss since Tony became the coach 4 years ago, because they were leading against De La Salle. They were leading when they lost to Hamilton. They put up a good fight there at the end of the Armwood game. But this is the first time where you never sensed at all during the game that they could win. And while I'm talking, it just didn't seem to me like a normal Gorman national televised game. I don't know if everybody – it just didn't seem to have that energy. Maybe it was me because I was tired, but it felt like, you know, everybody from the players to the people in the crowd, they just weren't up for the game. I don't know if it was jet lag from 2 weeks ago going to Hawaii. I don't know if what it was.
Jet lag doesn't last 2 weeks.
I'm trying to figure out what happened. They clearly weren't Gorman. They didn't have that fire and excitement and the mistakes. Okay, there's one thing to be a work in progress defensively, which they clearly are. If you look at the second half against St. Louis of Hawaii and the Bergen game, they've given up like almost 90 points in six quarters of football, right? But it's one thing to be a work in progress defensively, but to be mistake prone like they were, which you haven't seen, for me was just it was shocking. I'd never have seen that before.
Yeah, defensively, obviously, Bergen exposed a lot on Gorman. They were able to throw the ball. They're really able to do whatever they want, from my understanding. So that's problematic. And I want to go back to one thing you touched on. Last year, I thought Gorman was just so – I don't even know how to describe how much better they were than everyone. Even, you know, a team like Liberty that we felt was the best at the end of the year, Gorman was probably more than a 40-point favorite over, in my opinion. You never see a 40-point favorite beat a 40-point underdog win. That's happened once in 20 years, I think, in college football. This year, I think if Liberty plays Gorman, I think you could make a case that Liberty still is, I don't think is going to win, has very little chance, but I think they're a 28 or 30-point underdog, and every once in a while one beats them. I think this year, more than last year, if Gorman has an absolutely dreadful day and a team like Liberty plays perfect, I actually think that they could, you know, if you play the game 200 times, maybe Liberty wins two or three of them.
Yeah, I think the gap is closed between Liberty and Gorman. I'm going to be interested.
It's still a gap.
They're a hell of a gap. Not just a gap, a big gaping gap. I wouldn't be able to hit a golf ball from one side of it to the other. Not that I'm good at golf. It is going to be interesting to see later on this year when Gorman goes to Centennial, who likely will be still undefeated at the time, how they do that day, because
wow, just writing off that W for Centennial over our review. We'll get to that next.
I you know what? For some reason, did I put that in the picks? I think I left that one off for some reason.
I'll remember it. Don't worry.
I'm picking Centennial.
All right,
you're taking Arbor.
We'll get to it. Okay, I don't want to ruin it.
We'll get to it. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do in terms of measuring where Gorman is at, or if the rest of the town has caught up to him a little bit. Because the Centennial team is, you know, hard hat, pounding ground, not be afraid. So we'll see how they hold up. It's just funny. Gorman loses one game and all of a sudden, you know, the window of chance for people to get back has opened. And whether it truly has opened or not, I'd be interested to see how the intensity changes at a Liberty this week, or at a Palo this week, or at a Centennial this week. With just a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overreacting.
I am.
Gorman is going to win the state championship. They're going to beat all these teams badly. But I'm just saying, I think this year, and last year ended up being a good game. I'm not saying last year didn't, but this year I will be more excited to see Liberty take on Gorman than I did last year. I think they can keep it even closer. I think they're a better team, and I think Gorman's a little bit worse. I think that's not unfair to say.
Yeah, it's if we get that game, it'd be in the state finals, FYI. So
I think we're going to get it.
Okay.
Unless the Coronado Cougars have something to say.
Well, do you think the Fighting Hunkies have a chance?
I don't know. I want to see the Canyon Springs Pioneers beat someone on their level, I guess. Because I know Cheyenne is going to be good in the D1A, but Canyon Springs just blew them out. I think Canyon Springs is on a different level than them. And Foothill, obviously, has a lot of issues this year, as we saw Silverado beat them pretty handily in the Liberty Bell and the Victory Bell game last week. So I really need to see how Canyon Springs plays these next 2 weeks against Palo Verde and Liberty, and I got to think a lot of people are going to take that approach.
And I would agree with you, and I will tell you this, that Palo Verde and Liberty play defense better than Cheyenne and Foothill, obviously, but
could probably play defense better with six guys.
I know a lot of people say that Canyon is better on the line this year than they have been in the past 2 years.
I'm one of them for sure. I think
one of them for sure. You played on the line in high school. You're familiar with the way the line works. Could I let everybody know your dirty secret about college football?
What was my dirty secret?
KU.
I covered KU?
No, you could have played for KU.
I could have walked on. Case I got killed in practice. Would have
an invited walk-on at Kansas University. He could have went to the orange. He could be sitting here with an Orange Bowl ring on his right-hand finger.
Sitting in the stands watching, probably.
That's all right.
With a broken leg and broken arm and concussion.
You would have got the experience. But nonetheless, you think the line at Canyon is better. We'll find out against Palo. We'll find out against Liberty. Even if Canyon holds its own, I think they've got a chance. And FYI, I hear Rayshon Henderson, the D lineman, the junior part of the All Sun team, is an absolute beast for Canyon. Beast. Like Terrence.
He's very good for
he's
sure.
He's very good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just to let you know.
All right, well, we usually like to talk about, you know, one or two games. Before we get to the picks, we like to break them down more. With a little bit more focus, I guess. And I think the two this week, pretty obviously, we haven't discussed this beforehand, but Canyon Springs at Palo Verde and Arborview at Centennial. I believe Arborview is traveling to Centennial. I think those are the two big games of the week. I wouldn't be surprised if either of them went either way.
I think this could be our $5 game of the day. Arborview has got to have a chip on its shoulder because they have, while they're undefeated, it's not a pretty undefeated. Struggled in the second half against Green Valley. Let Legacy hang around a little too long the last 2 weeks.
They did beat Desert Oasis by like 48.
I don't think too high Desert Oasis, so nonetheless.
I think they're above average in town.
They're above average, but I think they're not on the tier that Arborview is. Make no doubt about it. Centennial, Arborview, two top five elite teams. Both undefeated, both with that same "I'm gonna pound the ball down your throat" mentality. Centennial, this has obviously been a magical season, and they haven't beat Arbor before, and this current regime. And I think this is the last 3 years, and I think this is Centennial's game to win. I think Centennial is gonna come strap it on and jam it. And we'll see what's going
to
happen.
I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think that this is Centennial's game to win. I think that they are I think they're the favorites now. And at the beginning of the year, I would have said that was crazy because, you know, I was really high on Arborview. I picked them to win the division, which I'm still doing. Doesn't seem as outlandish anymore.
Sure.
But Centennial, I mean, the way they've opened the year, beating Palo Verde, of course, 31-0 over Durango and just smacking around Shadow Ridge. Arborview, like you said, two kind of close games the last 2 weeks. So I think Centennial's probably the favorite, but I don't know. I'm not sold on Centennial's offense yet. I know they scored some points against Palo, but they also had, if I'm not mistaken, they had a big special team score, right? So, I mean, Palo, they only produced what? 17 points, maybe?
Yeah.
14 points, something like that. And then against Durango, we all know, we all heard the struggles of the offense. I think Arborview, is better defensively than what they've shown these last 2 weeks against Legacy. They gave up 28 points, but Legacy's not bad either. And I trust Arborview's offense a little bit more, so I'm not ready to just, you know, write this off as Centennial's going to blow by Arborview. I think Arborview might be the more explosive team, which is kind of weird being that you're picking Centennial. It goes against what you usually say, but I still think it's a really close game. But I think Centennial has probably surpassed them in terms of straight power rankings. But I still give the Aggies a good chance here.
Okay. I mean, are we doing our picks now, or are we going to come back to this later?
Shall we jump? Or I wanted to know if we wanted to talk about – well, I guess we could do the pick for this game.
Okay.
Then jump into the next
game.
I'm
going to take Centennial, and I'm willing to lay some points if you're taking Arbor for our $5 game of the day.
You know what? Ever since I've been on this show, I haven't backed down. I'm not going to back down now. I picked Arborview to go undefeated in the regular season. I think they have a great chance to beat Centennial. I'm going Arborview. I think they're going to get the upset here. I can't wait to see this game. This is the game I've been talking about. I know Centennial's defense is nasty and, you know, could make this into their kind of game. But I think Arborview is going to break a run or two, and I think that'll be the difference.
I think Centennial makes another statement. They flex their muscles. They say, we're a team. We're ready to go. We're going to make a deep run, bring on Gorman. I think Centennial puts it to them.
Be careful what you wish for, is you don't want to bring on Gorman.
I know, that's the mentality you have to have if you're the Bulldogs. You have You have to say, we're Liberty. We're the best public school team. We're going to give Gorman a run for their money.
All right, well, you got to pitch me a line because I don't know how
four and a half.
I don't know how confident I feel
I'll
like
give
taking
you four
this
and a half
because
points.
Listen, I think Centennial's the better team, but I just don't want to back off what I've said all year that Arborview
would
win this game.
We'll pick another game.
All right,
that's
fine.
Listen, you're listening to the podcast Prep Sports Now right here on LasVegasSun.com. We're available on iTunes. Download us. Listen to us.
Right,
enjoy us
for sure. And I'm going to be driving out to Centennial on Friday night. I'm really excited for the game, and you know what I'm going to be doing all the way there? I'll probably turn on some music, but I'm also going to have my eyes on the road and my hands on the wheel. I'm not going to be texting, just listening to some music and getting to my location safely.
Nice. You're the man.
You too.
Yes.
You're going to California for Gorman and Servite.
I am. And I will have my seatbelt on the whole way there, and I'm going to bring some I've got my phone.
Some lemonade.
No, I don't like lemonade at all.
All right.
Rarely like lemonade. Okay, let's go to this week's picks. I'm going to lead us in. Thursday night, my Las Vegas Wildcats at Cimarron Memorial. I'm going to shock the world here, picking against Vegas for probably the first time in 3 years. Cimarron really pounds the ball well. Justin Davis, the tailback. They're not a throwing team, but I think the fact that they they've really found their stride running the ball. See the Rancho and Del Sol games. I still think Vegas is a work in progress. They're a little rough going. I take Cimarron by 2 touchdowns.
It had to happen sometime. It was inevitable that I was going to pick Las Vegas when you weren't. I don't know what it is about this game. I was pretty I guess the Wildcats gave me a boost in my confidence in them by kind of hanging with the California team this weekend. Maybe that team wasn't as good as we thought. But Vegas was in a position to win at the end. I think they had a touchdown pass that they nearly completed at the end of the game to beat the team from California. That was encouraging to me. You know I'm really high on the Andrew Moreland kid. I think he's one of the best players in town, especially in that division. I mean, he's clearly behind DJ Pumphrey, who's just a monster for Canyon Springs. But beyond that, I love the Moreland kid. Give him the ball, and I think Las Vegas could pull off this upset.
Are you picking them?
I'm picking Las Vegas. Picking the Wildcats. Every week now I explain exactly what I'm thinking of the game, and you want me to use the exact words, I'm picking blank.
Yeah,
did I not make it obvious?
Oh, no, you're fine.
Let me know in the comments if I didn't make it obvious, and I'll try harder.
Okay. Gorman at Servite. I think Gorman is really upset right now. They've got a chip on their shoulder. This is their last national game. They need to make a statement. Servite, they've got one win in three games or four games, but they're not as bad as the record indicates. Obviously, the level of play in California is superb. Gorman is superb as well. They beat Servite last year, basically a rematch of that game. I think Gorman, this is it. They have to make a statement, and I think they do, so they win by 3 touchdowns.
Last year, that was a great game, really even, unless I'm mistaken.
Really, field goal at the end. Yeah,
field goal at the end to win. I just can't figure out Gorman this year. I kind of liked him in the first game, and then I looked at Our Lady, and I flip-flopped a little bit and ended up taking Our Lady a good counsel. Of course, Gorman wins. Last week, I thought they were probably going to beat Bergen, and I guess I jinxed them by just saying how consistent they play, and they never have a game full of mistakes. Guess what they do? They have a game full of mistakes and don't look like normal Gorman, and they lose. So I'm really kind of this game's kind of tough to me. I could see Servite pulling off the upset based on how Gorman played last week, but I'm going to pick Gorman. You have Gorman by 25. Maybe this should be our game of the week because there's no way they're winning by 25. I think it's going to be a close game.
25 might be a little high with their past performances defensively.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I mean, Servite could probably score on this team. I will say Servite hasn't put up a lot of points so far this year, but like you said, they're playing really good competition.
Exactly. I agree with you.
All right. So I guess I'm on Gorman. Reluctantly, I'll take Gorman.
I'm on Gorman as well.
All right. I'll take Gorman by like a touchdown. The next game that I really wanted to touch on for a little bit longer, Canyon Springs at Palo Verde. Wow. I never thought Canyon Springs would be in this position to possibly beat Palo Verde at the beginning of what was it last year? I think Palo Verde beat them by 30, shut them out. And I thought Canyon Springs would be one of those top 10 teams maybe for the next couple of years, but not quite on the Palo Verde level. Palo Verde, though, now 1-3. DJ Pumphrey is having a better year than anyone in town, runs on anyone. So this is really –
better than Capelli?
I think he's having a better year.
Okay, I
mean, look at the yards.
I mean, yards, or they've played more games. I mean, but they've played Cheyenne and Foothill.
That's true, but okay. You need to get out and see this kid. If you're
no, I'm not doubting his ability, but if you put Capelli against Cheyenne and Foothill, he'd have the same numbers.
All right, well, I love Capelli, you know that, but if I have a ballot for player of the year right now, Pumphrey's number one on it. No question.
Why don't we do our pick of the week?
Pumphrey plays defense, too.
Well, it's fine. I hear he's a great baseball player. Seriously.
I mean, the kid is unbelievable. I think if you're questioning who's the player of the year so far, you need to get out and see him.
Okay, well, let's do a prop bet. Over-under yards for Pumphrey against rushing yards against Palo.
Oh, that's a good one. I think you probably got to set it about around 100, right?
I was thinking like 150.
150. I don't know. That seems like if it's 150, I would take the under. You got to think Palo Verde has a really good defense, right?
Well, yeah, but we're but talking he goes to the house 80 yards every time he touches the ball. That's one, two touches.
I'll go under 150. Are you going to take the over?
Well, I was looking to go under too.
Yeah, all right.
That's why I said it so long.
Okay.
All right, anyways, Canyon Springs at Palo. I picked Canyon, but now that I'm talking it out, I don't know why, because Canyon has played nobody, and Palo's played the toughest schedule in town besides Gorman. I think the worlds collide, and I have Canyon winning by 7, but wouldn't be surprised. And I misspelled Springs. I hope you caught that.
How'd you spell it? Canyon Springs?
Spring, no S.
Sea Springs?
Sea Spring, no S.
Sea Spring, all right.
Yes, I got Canyon by 7.
I was pretty surprised to see you took Canyon here. I'm going to repeat exactly what I'm going to write on this pick, but I think that DJ Pumphrey is the best player on the field, but I think that Palo Verde has the best team, so I got to go with the Panthers.
And I gave you the best player on the field analogy, and I don't know. He might be a better D1 prospect than 24 for Palo, but I think 24 for Palo is the best player on the field. In my opinion. Both
based on
the All-Star team. PV Nation. Based on history. PV Nation.
If you watch the two kids play, I mean, he's great. He's one of the 10 best kids in town, but watch the production on the field. Take both those kids away from both those teams. Palo does the same thing.
You put 24 against Foothill and Cheyenne, he does the same thing.
No. This kid had the most unbelievable runs in these two games that I've ever seen.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm not.
He scored touchdowns 4 straight times he touched the ball.
Against Foothill. They lost to Silverado.
Foothill isn't as bad as some of the –
Foothill's not good.
Foothill might be better than Bonanza, and what did Bouye do against Bonanza?
They got like 5 or 6 backs. You said best player on the field, not best tailback.
Pumphrey is the best player on the field, no doubt in my mind.
Okay,
I like
folks,
DJ
let
Pumphrey.
Us know what you think. I'm going with 24.
And this hurts me because I've loved Bouye since he's a sophomore.
Well, apparently you haven't.
He's a great player. But
you like DJ Pumphrey more than Capelli, more than Bouye, more than everybody.
He's having a better year than anyone.
Against Foothill and Cheyenne. Let's talk after the Palo game. That's all I'm saying. He's a good player. I have no doubt about it. Okay? It's Foothill and Cheyenne.
Hey, weren't you the same guy that was slow to jump on the Kyle Kepplinger bandwagon last year?
Last week.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. You weren't on Kyle Kepplinger last year either. He's probably the best player, non-Gorman player
in
town.
Well, let's just see how DJ does lining up against the big boards the next 2 weeks. That's all I got to say.
Well, let's see how his line is up for, too, because this is the problem. This is why we didn't talk about him more the last 2 years. And there are a million studies with this. I don't even know why I'm going to argue with you about this. But it's so much of a running back's performance is based on how well you can block. And I'm a little worried about Canyon Springs.
Though, you just said they're improved.
They are very much improved. But Palo and Liberty, those are big physical teams, no?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are.
All right. Okay. Well, whatever. I take Pumphrey as the best player in town right now. Argue if you want, but that's what I'm sticking to. Silverado at El Dorado. Silverado bounced back and beat Foothill pretty bad, like we said. I've got Silverado big in this game.
I got Silverado big as well. El Dorado lost the cleat game to Shap, my alma mater. I think El Dorado is going to have a hard time finding another win on its schedule. They're 1-1 right now, beat Sunrise Mountain. We're really ran over by Chaparral. Silverado does a good job running the ball. I think this is clear cut.
All right. I agree. We're in agreement here.
Speaking of clear cut, Liberty at Rancho. Rancho, God bless them for trying. They're losing big to everybody. Liberty beats everybody big. 101 equals 2, Liberty big.
And what's Nico Capelli's over under here? 225?
Well, I mean,
he's probably going to pass Pumphrey in rushing yards after this one.
But here's the deal. How many times is he going to touch the rock?
I mean, he could have 10 carries for 225 here.
He could. You're right. I mean, whatever. You want to set an over under 201.5?
I will take the over for sure.
201. I would take the over too. All right. Okay.
Nico Capelli will have a big game. Love Nico Capelli. Love Jay Mitchell. My newcomer of the year would be Jay Mitchell over at Liberty. All right, next game, Basic at Bonanza. I actually think Bonanza, you know, kind of got more into a rhythm against Spring Valley. They just destroyed them. I think Bonanza is going to be a little bit more competitive the rest of the year, but I don't see them beating Basic.
I don't either. You were at the Basic game, and their offense is very good. I think they're going to score on everybody. Defensively, always is going to be a question mark, but they're going to be able to pitch and catch it, and I have them winning by 30.
Yeah, here's the problem. You might actually have a point this year. I'm a little worried about Basic offensively. God, they're so explosive, and they got kids that can take it to the end zone anytime.
To the house. Not to the end zone. To the house. Go ahead.
I couldn't say take it to the house. That's your thing. That's your cliche. I'm not going to step on you like that.
Everybody uses that cliche, not mine.
I don't. Have you heard me use it?
Well, if you write it in one of your stories, we'll edit it out.
I will not use it in one of my stories. All right. Anyway, Basic, I think there's some concerns defensively. The thing was Marcus Williams, who for Durango, we know he's great, whatever. Rightfully so. He deserves all the praise he's gotten. But if he got like two steps, if they didn't wrap him up the first time, he was gone. He had like three long touchdown runs. I'm a little bit worried athletically about Basic on defense. It seems like they can make plays. They got some good guys. Anthony Owens really stood out. I think at safety came and made some big plays. 55. I'm trying to look at his name. Oh, Zach Trish made some good plays, but I feel like they're in trouble if they get some of these guys in the open field.
Now, see, if I would say I worry about Basic's athleticism on defense and Basic's in trouble, I'd get hate mail. You say it. It's like, oh, Kiefer thinks we need to
improve. I'm saying you're kind of right.
First time for everything. But with this said, Bonanza's no opponent. I think Basic wins big.
Yeah, I think Basic wins big too, but I would like to see some steps defensively. It'd be a good sign if they held Bonanza to about 10 points. I don't know if they can, though.
It'd be a great sign.
All right. Next game is Coronado at Green Valley. This might be one of the better games of the week that maybe get overlooked by the two ones we talked about at the top. Both these teams have had pretty decent starts to the year. Coronado, we know what they've done, blown out both their opponents. Green Valley did lose to Arborview, but played them close and then beat Del Sol really bad last week.
Yeah, I think they combined for almost 120 points last week. So we know both of these offenses could put points up. First off, Coronado, usually if you beat Valley by 68, that's just beating Valley by 68. But I think this is a little more impressive, you know, one, because Coronado's been so bad the last whatever amount of years. But just two, they seem to be more crisp, more physical this year than years past. Super impressed with Coronado. And Green Valley, what they did against Arborview, which we're both real high on, and then to just go against Del Sol, and a game that was really a run fest, and both teams putting up big running numbers. For them to win that game, impressive as well. I think Coronado is on its way to maybe being an elite team. I mean, not elite, but maybe they go up from tier three to tier two, and I think they win this game.
I think defensively they're already near the elite. I mean, the game I watched on TV, they look so good on defense. The linebackers they have, I think I mentioned last week, but I can't even pronounce the kid's name. Corey Sobzik, Jason Warren, and Dakota Brunger. Those guys make tons of plays. And everyone on the defense, Wyatt Bartell, look out for him. I got Coronado in this game. I think it's going to be close, but I got to go with the Cougars.
I agree with you. Next game, Durango at Valley. Coach Gerber from Durango played quarterback at Valley. Thought I'd put that in there because,
interesting.
Yeah, Durango's going to beat him up pretty good.
Yeah, Durango big. I think we agree. Let's move on to the next game. I got nothing else to say. Spring Valley at Legacy. Spring Valley let me down last week.
They had to have let you down. They lost by – you picked them to win. They lost by 40. I'm telling
they
you
were
right
up
now,
7-0, though.
Well, they're not that good of a team. I think Legacy gets its first true win of the season.
Its first what?
True win.
True win.
Well, because they lost to Shadow, but then when Shadow forfeited.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Yeah. I hate to be this quick, but I got Legacy, too. Desert Oasis and Foothill. I was kind of hoping you went with Foothill here because I'm taking Desert Oasis, but it looks like you are too.
Yeah, listen, Foothill's clearly got some problems making tackles, and as much as I think Doc Stater could throw the rock, if they can't stop people from scoring, I'm going to pick against them every week. Sierra Vista at Del Sol. Speaking of having problems tackling, Del Sol couldn't control Cimarron's run game, couldn't control Green Valley's run game. I think Sierra Vista's that tiered down in competition to get them the first win of the year.
All right, where are we? Okay. I've got Del Sol, but I wouldn't be stunned if Sierra Vista pulled this up. Look, you only have them by six. Del Sol is not...
Del Sol's a train wreck.
Del Sol's not great this year. Desert Oasis and Foothill. I never really got to inject any of my opinion on here for some reason, but... Curtis Brooks, I like the point you brought up about tackling because this Curtis Brooks kid just runs through arm tackles. He breaks a lot of tackles. I think
what's his last name?
Brooks.
He's a Brooks house.
Oh, boy. I'm taking Desert Oasis, too. I think Foothill, you said you're still confident Doc Stater can throw the rock. I'm not so confident in their passing game this year. I don't think they have enough threats at wide receiver. They have Tyler Morris, who's going to San Diego State, but he's a big physical guy, catches a lot, but you kind of need a complement to that, and I don't think they have it.
Yeah, you're right. Foothill right now, not the team that we fell in love with last year. Possibly could be on the outside looking in come playoff time, too.
Well, Coronado's definitely going to the playoffs. Basic's definitely going to the playoffs, and Liberty's definitely going to the playoffs. That only leaves one spot for the rest of them, right?
Who do you think wins on a neutral field, Del Sol or Foothill?
I got Foothill.
No way.
Really?
Oh, please.
All right, this will be interesting when they play. Where do they play at?
I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me. But we agree El Dorado's likely going to take sixth in that league.
Correct.
Okay.
We agree on that.
Okay. Moving to the Division 1A opening week of league play. And should be interesting. I will say the first game on our slate, Faith Lutheran, they're hosting Mojave. I was a little shocked that Faith beat Virgin Valley.
I am not. I told you they had a good chance in this game.
You did. You proved me wrong. And I think Faith beats Mojave again this week. Mojave's got some talented players, Case. It's just they are an offsides penalty, a late hit waiting to happen every play. Like 16 penalties last week for like 150 yards. No way you're going to win varsity football games like that. Sunrise Mountain gave them a little bit of a scare. I think Faith is clicking on all cylinders. They opened the year with the win in Colorado. It kind of took them a while to get back after that high. I think they win.
Yeah, I think both these teams are about even, but I kind of favor Faith. I feel like when their passing game is on, it is on. They have some really good receivers. Speaking of receivers, that Sean Bichelle out of the backfield, I know had a big game for him against Virgin Valley, and the Pritel Farmer kid, is that how you say his name? Mm-hmm. Big-time receiver, too. I think Mojave might have trouble matching up with those guys, so I'm going to lean Faith Lutheran here.
And I think Faith is statistically one of the best passing offenses in town. Next game, Pahrump at Clark. Actually, a pretty evenly matched game. We had a hard time picking this. I'm taking Clark because it's a home game. I think they're equally bad.
Pahrump Valley going to come down to Las Vegas and get a win? Second straight year, right? Yes. I got Pahrump Valley.
All right. Well, we'll see. We could make that the game of the week if you want, the $5 game.
All right. Well, what's the line?
You tell me. Whatever it is, I'll take the other side.
Pick 'em?
Pick 'em. I'll take Clark.
All right. $5. I'll take Pahrump Valley.
I'm down a 5, right?
I think you're down 10 now. You were down 5 okay, on I swept last week.
Okay. Western at Cheyenne. Listen, Cheyenne's perfect, I guess, for this new Division 1A because they got blown out last week by Canyon. They got blown out by California School the week again. They start feeling better about themselves. They get Western. That's not good. Western wins big.
Poor Western wins big?
No, I'm sorry. Cheyenne wins big. What do I say?
Western, not a good year for the Warriors.
Okay, I agree with you. Boulder City at Desert Pines, very interesting game here. Boulder City's undefeated. Desert Pines even at 2-2, and Desert Pines was a power last a playoff quality team, qualifying team last year in the Northeast. They dropped down. They should be dominating this league, but they're not. Boulder City is played awesome this year. They're 4-0. They keep answering the bell with every test. I think this is the first week Desert Pines rises up. They realize they got a chance to do something, and I take the Jags.
Incorrect. There's no way Desert Pines is going to go down and then not go down, I guess. But I don't think they're going to beat Boulder City. I like Boulder City in this game. Remember when you were labeling the Desert Pines-Cheyenne game as the two best teams in the Division 1A? I think it's safe to ditch that and say that we were wrong about that.
We were. Desert Pines has been a disappointment. They're out of shape. But I still think – they've got better players. Could they get organized? Could they seize the moment? They failed me miserably in years past, but they're like my mistress. I can't say no to them.
About to devastate you again because Boulder City will win this game. Let's jump to the last two games, Sunrise Mountain and Moapa Valley. We both like Moapa Valley big. I think they can name their score.
I agree with you.
And then the last game, I think this one's actually very interesting. Virgin Valley at Chaparral. Chaparral 2-1. Virgin Valley, I believe, 3-1 maybe?
Chap's 3-1, baby.
Okay, Chap's 3-1.
El Dorado, Western, and Sierra Vista were coming after you, Virgin.
Wow. So you like Chaparral.
Here's the deal. I just think that Chap put such focus on off-season weight training and – it really showed against El Dorado. They wore them down. They're super big up front. They've got the momentum from winning the cleat game. Virgin Valley lost to Faith. This game's at Shap. I think it's probably evenly matched, but I think Antonio Thomas, best player on the field, my Cowboys win.
I'd love to pick Chaparrals. I think they have a chance, but I believe I've picked against them every week. So I might as well keep it up and go Virgin Valley.
Shout out to the Cowboys for winning the cleat, baby.
Yep, Cowboys win the cleat. Prove me wrong and get the cleat from Brewer.
I was so happy.
We're going to let Brewer go celebrate, but we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.